Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by InsideTexas.com publisher, Eric Nahlin. Eric, welcome in. It's our weekly state of the program. Each and every week, we try to give the very latest about the Longhorns. This is a big week coming up for Texas. 13 newcomers will be showing up on campus sometime in the next 7 days. Of course, you have a bunch of high school guys, and you have summer enrollees off of the transfer portal. Trill Carter, the defensive lineman out of Minnesota. Ryan Sanborn, the punter from Stanford, joined 11 high schoolers set to show up. I think the first day is May 28th.
Yeah, it's funny. We've talked about the 2023 class so extensively, it's almost like it's been complete. But then there's this whole other piece of players coming in with another talent infusion. They're going to be a little bit behind their classmates, but you know, those classmates hit the ground running. I expect these guys to do the same. They're going to follow those freshman guys that they got to know throughout the recruiting process. And I think they're going to get bought in really quick.
I want to go down the list just to make sure everybody knows. Derek Williams is the highest rated player yet to enroll. He's the safety out of New Iberia Westgate, 5-star prospect. Jelani McDonald out of Waco Conley, a safety, star position is what we're told. Justin Wells reporting that that's the position he's going to start at. Warren Roberson, a safety out of Red Oak, more of a do-it-all guy for Red Oak last year. Not unlike in some ways Savion Red, except on the defensive side of the ball, right? Yep. Trevor Gooseby, big lineman, offensive lineman out of Melissa that finished fifth in the state shot put. Trey Wisner, a running back athlete type that was on the state championship at DeSoto. Billy Walton, another state champion. Edge prospect from South Oak Cliff. Spencer Shannon, the two tight ends. Spencer Shannon, big, long, tall drink of water out of Santa Ana Mater Dei. I think he's 6'6", 225. Will Randall was Arch Manning's classmate, the tight end out of New Orleans Newman that's recovering from an ACL. Samaje Burrell, one of the very first commitments of the class, really helped start it off right, the inside linebacker out of North Crawley. And then Tassili Akana, the edge prospect out of Utah. Derek Williams, but yep. Eric, in your opinion, do any of these guys, because this question came up, do any of these guys have a chance to play early, in your opinion? Or is Texas deep enough now where they're not going to have to rely on guys that just show up the summer before they start playing?
Well, I mean, obviously Sanborn's going to start at punter and Trill Carter's going to be a rotational player right off the gates. But, you know, I know everybody wants to hear that Derek Williams is going to come in and star as a true freshman. And I just don't think that's going to happen just because safety is such a difficult position to learn. You know, the middle of the field, linebacker, safeties, you know, there's a lot going on with coverages. You got to play the run as well. So I think fans often overrate the immediate impact that they should expect out of some of those prospects. Quarterback is another one, safety. You know, inside linebacker, you know, Samaje Burrell is another guy that, yeah, if he had enrolled early, then I would say he's going to get playing time like Anthony Hill and Leona LaFau. But given the late arrival, you know, that has to temper your expectations.
Any other guys that you think are possibilities, a guy like Jelani McDonald, if find some time, if Jalen Gilbo's not ready to go?
Nope. Sorry, not happening. I think he's going to end up being a linebacker long-term anyways. I think that's just a good way to get him to learn the coverages. You know, obviously he's going to get out there, run around, you want those guys, you want your linebackers comfortable in coverage anyway. So that's a good place for him to start while he adds weight. But you know, you got Jadae Barron, Jalen Gilbo, and then Austin Jordan. And then, you know, even Michael Taft would be ahead of Jelani McDonald if they had to, you know, play somebody ahead of, or, you know, against Alabama. So, it's just a lot to learn. You know, there's a big step up between high school and college, and it's not as easy to make as the rankings would have you believe.
I totally agree with that sentiment because I've seen it in my 30 plus years doing this. You think a guy's a 5-star, but to your point about Derek Williams, there's a nuance to the position, yeah, right? And that comes over time. Some guys are freaks. Kelvin Banks, one of them. But at the end of the day, he really has to worry about lining up and beating the man in front of him.
And he was an early enrollee, and we knew that he was going to be mentally and physically ready. I mean, we had that understood. You know, if they weren't so deep, maybe some of these guys would play. You know, maybe if they didn't have they weren't too deep across the board at wide receiver, maybe Ryan Niblett would have higher expectations. But, you know, as it is, he's going to have to learn the playbook now while Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore already have a huge head start on him. That early enrollee is a game changer.
And the thing about Moore and Cook is they already had an advanced understanding of the receiver position as it was. Yep. Niblett played all around the field for Aldine Eisenhower. So yep. those guys coming in early give them even another further step knowing the Texas offense. They were in some sophisticated schemes themselves in high school. The one guy that I circled that I want to mention is Spencer Shannon. And I think he actually has a chance to be a third tight end in blocking situations. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, he's physically mature. You mentioned he's 225. I think he might be bigger than that. You know, he's got a big, long frame, really, really well built to be an inline tight end. You know, I think he's going to end up being bigger than Jeff Swaim. And if you guys remember that, I think his 2013 season, Swaim was quite good as an inline blocker. I think he's got a chance to be another Jeff Swaim. He's going to have to learn the running game. He's not going to have to learn the whole route tree like some tight ends would, at least not right away. Eventually that'll come to him, but I think they can focus him on it being an inline blocker in case something happens with Gunnar Helm.
Swaim still collecting an NFL paycheck, by the way. Yep. Before we get going to the next topic, I want to say thank you to our sponsor of each and every state of the program. That's Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. The Lowy Law Firm specializes in getting you compensated for your injuries or accidents that occur to you that are not your fault. So if you've been in a car wreck or in an accident on the job, give Adam and his group a shout at 512-280-0800 or visit lowylawfirm.com for a free consultation. And remember, Adam and his group focus on results. Eric, the next thing that's coming up for Texas is the start of June actually begins the official visit weekends for recruits. Reiner Swanson, the tight end out of Laguna Beach, is the very first one to set up an official visit to Texas. I believe it's the June 1st week, actually. But then there's 40 more guys set to come in June. More than half of them are out of state. We've talked about that. What are your thoughts on Texas's outlook heading into the month of June? A lot of fans are concerned that Texas only has three commitments. We've talked about the patience part of this process. What are your thoughts overall?
I mean, if the fans are concerned, then, you know, they're probably not signed up to Inside Texas. Maybe it's you're just dealing with the YouTubers. They need to get on Inside Texas, and we'll provide all the context to alleviate those fears. For, you know, just 10 cents a day, you can alleviate those fears about Texas recruiting. I think they've got it set up that, you know, June is definitely go time. You know, we just did percentages the other day, and a lot of fans thought they were low. But, you know, you got to, if you play out the probabilities on it, it comes out in UT's favor more often than not. June is definitely go time where you get these guys to visit. You get to meet them and meet them more personally. You get to meet their families. It's their extended visits. So this is where the rubber meets the road as far as recruiting goes. It's going to dictate the rest of the summer, and it's going to dictate partially what happens in the fall and December. So it's definitely going to be an exciting time. You mentioned Reiner Swanson. That's a guy that, you know, I don't know how much fans are talking about him. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but Texas has a viable chance to land that guy. I've talked to him. Definitely liked Austin. You know, one of the first things he mentioned, he liked Austin before he even visited campus because he went to Torchy's Tacos. Well, you know, if you love Torchy's Tacos, there's going to be plenty more for you to explore. So I'm excited. You know, it gives us, you know, recruiting has been kind of quiet for a very long time. You know, really since last summer, things have been pretty quiet, but things are finally going to pick up. And if you were patient, you know, I think that patience is going to be rewarded. But again, don't expect the fireworks we saw last summer, but we are going to see a string of commitments throughout, I would say, June and August leading up to the season.
It's interesting to me because I went over with the guys, Justin and Jerry, how many scholarships at each position we thought Texas might give in the 2024 class. And I want to give you those and see if you had any comment on them yourself. At quarterback one, Trey Owens. Running back, Jerry and Justin both thought two. They thought they would, you know, Tashard Choice wants two regardless whether he gets the two top guys or not. Receiver was three, with one possibly being a portal prospect if so many go pro. Okay. Tight ends, two. Offensive lineman, four to five, with the five being a possible big name out of state guy. Interior defensive line, 3-4. They were a little hesitant on that because, again, they're concerned about the portal. If the three interior guys, Tavondre Sweat, Alfred Collins, and Byron Murphy all go pro after this year. At edge, 2-3, they thought. Linebacker, 1-2. Two would be the maximum number. And then in the secondary, they thought 4-5, with almost all of them having the ability to play multiple positions. Is there anything you would grind back or pull back on in that list or add to?
Numbers-wise, I'd be, two running backs aren't a necessity in this class, numbers-wise. But we know how much they like both Jarrett Gibson and Christian Clark. So, I tend to lean towards them taking two, but I don't think it's a guarantee necessarily. Let's say they don't get Clark and they only get Gibson. I think they might just hold up shop right there and stay pat.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I think wide receiver is going to be three high schoolers, but I think they're guaranteed to take a portal guy just because I think they are going to lose, at least, they got four guys that they could potentially lose next year. Adee Mitchell, Worthy, Whittington's for sure gone. And then, maybe Isaiah Nair. That'd be a good sign for this season if Isaiah Nair blows up and goes to the NFL too. I think they're guaranteed to need a portal guy next season. I think they're guaranteed to need a portal guy at interior defensive line too. So how does that affect the numbers? They might only take three. However, they're setting up such a good depth chart there or a big board at defensive tackle. It might be tough to only take four. So maybe they take four and a portal guy, depending on needs. But I think guarantee going in the SEC, they're going to need another mature guy like they just went in and got with Trill Carter at defensive tackle. Linebacker, I expect that to be two, but they're not going to force it. If they're fortunate enough to get Ty Anthony Smith this summer, then they might just hold out and see who either blows up as seniors. I just talked to Kumar Matuti out of Los Angeles last night. He's got a chance to really blow up this season. Kamori House is another guy that they would look at. But, obviously everybody knows Justin Williams will be a target. They'll recruit him through the whistle no matter what. But they're going to have to be patient at linebacker if they get Ty Anthony Smith. If they don't get Ty Anthony, then they're going to be a little more aggressive, I think, with the L.A. kids.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then, yeah, defensive backs, versatility is the key there. Everybody that they look at can play two positions, like Warren Roberson you mentioned earlier. I think four or five is going to be the right number. It's like offensive line. Again, their number's 4-5. Those are the two best big boards that are set up. Kyle Flood and Terry Joseph, along with Blake Gideon, have put themselves in a really good position to where, it's going to be hard to say no to some of these guys if they start recruiting them as well as we think they will.
It's interesting. Speaking with Eric Nahlin, publisher, InsideTexas.com. As Eric mentioned earlier, please consider a subscription to Inside Texas. It is your source for not only team news, but also recruiting news day in and day out. I guess 5 to 10 articles.
Bobby,
a day.
What did they say on tight ends?
They said two.
I think
they felt two.
As well. Yeah.
I think, my take on that is Will Randall's coming off an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And that number could go up depending on who's available. Because right now, JT Sanders leaving early. Juan Davis hasn't really found a role. They could need more, Eric. And Gunnar Helm's not that guy that's going to really press people in the passing game.
Yeah, and Reiner Swanson, if they get him, he's talking about taking a mission trip after a freshman year. So that would be a difficult number to navigate around. So Jordan Washington out of Langham Creek makes a lot of sense. He's obviously provides a very good receiving threat. Not necessarily known to be a blocker, but seems pretty physical on tape. But I think Jordan Washington is somebody that they're going to have to stay on pretty good. And and try to get him in the class. Just, you know, he's talented as a receiver, but numbers dictate it too.
Well, he's coming in that first weekend. That first big weekend looks like June 16th. Jordan Washington is out of Langham Creek. You mentioned Ty'Anthony Smith, the linebacker out of Jasper. He comes in the midweek because he's going on a family cruise on that weekend, but he wanted to get to Texas before he left for that. But it looks like I want to ask you a little bit and segue this into the issue that I see recruiting out of state, because I've talked to Justin, I've talked to Jerry about it, and we all have our little thoughts on it, right? Mm-hmm. What is your take on Texas going so much out of state? More than half their visits that are set up for the month of June are coming from guys from out of state. That doesn't mean that that'll be who they end up with the most commitments from.
Yeah.
But what is your take on that?
Well, I have a few thoughts on it. I should probably write it up. They've got a standard they're not going to go beneath. They would prefer to recruit in-state above all else. And they're showing that, especially at defensive back, you know, that's, they're prioritizing the in-state guys because those guys meet their standard of what a championship player is. So, the more players are like that, the less they'll go out of state. Now, this cycle has never really set up to be super strong across the board. And there's always going to be needs that are tough to meet in state. You know, if you want defensive linemen, you kind of have to go out. You have to go out to the southeastern area, southeastern conference region. And so, they're going to do what they have to do to put together a winning team. Now, here's the problem. There's so many players in Texas that there's going to be a lot of guys that Texas passes on that schools like Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor are going to benefit from that end up in the NFL. So there's going to be some bad beats down the road that fans are like, well, why did Texas pass on this guy to go out as blah, 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 blah. But that's hindsight. Hindsight's 2020. But their emphasis is in-state first and foremost. That's where they're going to evaluate first. That's where they're going to make their Colin Simmons sort of offers, the Micah Hudson offers. But after that, they need to find those type of players. And if they're not in Texas, they have to go to wherever they are.
You mentioned the southeastern segment of the country. Two-thirds of the guys coming in are from the southeast, basically, of the out-of-state guys. There's an Arizona guy or two. There's a few Californians to be added to the list. But Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, Louisiana, even Arkansas and Missouri. Missouri now SEC state. Georgia. And I mentioned Georgia. There are guys lined up to visit from all of those states to the University of Texas. It's the most SEC-centric recruiting class I've seen. I want to talk a little bit further about that. And one other question I have for you. First, I need to say thank you to our sponsor one last time, and that's Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. Adam and his family firm specializes in results for their clients, whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any sort of serious or catastrophic injury. Adam is who you want to call. Call Adam today at 512-280-0800 or reach him at lowylawfirm.com for a free consultation. And remember, Adam focuses on results. I ask you this about that foray into the SEC. You mentioned adding portal guys to kind of beef up the upfront and the experience level. How important do you think that mix will be? Like, do you see Texas going even more portal heavy next year because they're going to be losing so many guys to the NFL? Or do you think it's going to be kind of like it was this year where it's a select four or five?
It's going to depend on the losses, but I think they're going to try to bolster the defensive line through the portal. I think they're going to have to. You know, they're going to be okay on the offensive line, fortunately. You know, the offensive line is going to be on a great cycle as far as physical maturity goes and experience. It's not going to be the case on the defensive line. And, you know, Bo Davis knows better than anybody what you need up front in the SEC. And Sark is very pragmatic when it comes to that. And they're not going to look at – they're going to feel like the roster cycle is in a good place, that they have to go as hard as possible to try to make sure that they go into the SEC and hit the ground running. You don't want to go in and go 7-5 or 8-4 in your first year, especially after, you know, this season promises to be a pretty good year. You want to build off of that. They're going to feel the pressure to go get whoever they can to help. But I think, you know, I think the edge is finally going to be in a better place, assuming Baron Sorrell does return. They'll at least have another year of maturity out of Ethan Burke. But I do worry about the interior defensive line for 2024. And they only have Sadir Mitchell from the defensive tackle class in 2023, right? To me, that was a mistake that they're going to have to figure out a solution for this next offseason.
You just mentioned something that I really liked, the term with Steve Sarkisian. You said pragmatic. I agree with you. Realistic almost is a good term for him as well. He doesn't think everything is sunshine and roses. At the same time, he's not overly concerned about things. Expand a little bit about why you feel he's pragmatic, because I really do feel that's a good term.
Well, the guys he's targeting in the portal, you know, he's only going for difference makers. You know, he's done a good job of keeping in the guys that would be the depth. You just saw A&M lose all their depth. So they did a good job of keeping their starters. But what happens with a couple guys go down, you know, it's football, it's going to happen. And you've talked about A&M having such a thin margin of error. They can win. They can have a season that kind of is a big bounce back from next year, but the margin of error is so small because of depth. Stark's been really pragmatic about how he's gone about the portal. He hasn't gone over the top. You know, they could have gone after another safety this past week, and they said, you know, let's just stand pat with what we've got. You know, they haven't gone too, I think they've gone just the right amount, you know, like Goldilocks, just the right amount on the portals that they've targeted. And as the depth has gotten better, you know, they haven't had to reach as much as recent. You know, Jai Hall was a reach. We all knew Jai Hall was a reach in real time. You know, I think the recruit Nick loved the fact that he was a five-star by some services. We looked at his track record and said, I don't know. But Sark's not making those reaches anymore. He at that time he did it, it made sense because he's trying to elevate the overall roster talent. Now he doesn't feel the burden to do that. So I think he's had a perfect plan with maybe not a perfect plan, but a very good plan with the portal. I know some fans are like, well, why didn't they get Jared Verse? Well, Jared Verse obviously went in the portal to go to Florida State. He stayed at Florida State for another year when he would have been a first-round draft pick. So there's obviously more in the details there. But I think overall he's just navigated the roster quite well. I do, other than, you know, defensive tackle is a concern for me in 2024.
Yeah, I agree with him being pragmatic across the whole program, including the portal. I think he's done a good job of that. And showing patience in recruiting generally, Eric, is also pragmatic. And he seems to not get what's the right word? He seems not to get antsy.
Yeah.
About it, right? I mean, I think he's been through the wars. He understands what it takes.
The amount they change the names on their big board, you know, moving guys around is pragmatic. That's proof that he's not getting antsy. You know, Tom Herman, if he liked Brennan Eagles in February of 2016, that was going to be his guy no matter what. And, you know, they got him, but it didn't exactly work out. You've got to do what's best for the program, and that goes back to his out-of-state approach too. You know, he's not gonna lower the bar just because he can get an in-state kid. Now, again, it's gonna backfire a time or two. And A&M's taking the same approach. There's gonna be a lot of really good players that end up, you know, other schools are gonna benefit. Whoever is recruiting Texas from out of state, and then of course the in-state Big 12 schools are gonna benefit a little bit as well. But it's pragmatic in real time.
Got it. All right, that's Eric Nahlin, publisher, InsideTexas.com. Give Inside Texas a shout and a chance with a subscription. I also want to thank our sponsor, Adam Lowy, who sponsors the State of the Program each and every week. Eric, same time, same channel next week, bud.
Sounds good, Bobby.
Right, have a good one.